Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Just Jocin. I am one of your hosts, Sabrina Hannon.
And I'm the other host, Jasmine Heron. This week, we are discussing season 4, episode 9 of Buffy, Something Blue.
A very fun episode. I mean, there's, you know, a good moral behind it and all, but it's hilarious.
Yep. If you hear crying in the background, it's my corgi. She would like someone to play with her today.
Yeah. I do have some fun facts about this episode. So we find out that Spike is left-handed in this episode. And the shop that Buffy is caught looking at the wedding dress in is April Fool's, which is the same dress shop that Cordelia used to work at for that, like, the two episodes that she was working. And now this episode is rumored to have been made to show fans how ridiculous a Spike and Buffy relationship would be.
Uh-huh.
That kind of really backfired on Joss Whedon. So those are my fun facts.
Although I feel like this is the only way that a true Buffy Spike relationship would work, would be when someone's under the influence.
Well, I mean, huge spoiler alert, but he goes and does have his soul shoved back in his body. So I think that helps.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like this version of Spike, you would have to be under a spell.
Yep.
Under the influence of something. And I just want to mention today May the 4th be with you, even though you'll be seeing this much later. I'm still very excited.
Yep. May the 4th be with you.
Yeah.
So we start off this episode in Oz's room. We've got really sad music playing. All the stuff is there. Willow's like sadly moping around, sits on his bed, grabs one of his hoodies and is like sniffing it and like just being all sad and like wrapped up in the missing Oz presence. And for the past couple of episodes, we've seen her being sad, but we haven't really seen, you know, this sort of, she's appeared to be moving on to everyone else, but on her own, you can see she's still suffering.
Yeah, and she's kind of like, this room is very much so a crutch to her. Like it's not a healthy thing that she is doing by any means. And we see exactly why it's not very soon. So then it pops over to the next day, and Buffy sees Riley helping to put up the Lesbian Alliance banner. And when he gets down, Buffy's just like, oh, do you have something to tell me? He's like, oh yes, I'm a lesbian. And
so I actually want to point out here that I think that this was a very good strategic moment by the writers.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that Riley is white bread farm boy from Iowa, which could mean that he's also very conservative and not down with the LGBTQ, like, you know, the alphabet.
Plus.
Yes.
LGBTQ plus. Yeah. Yep.
Which would become more of a problem later when Willow goes through her Tara awakening.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that having from the very start, this moment of, here's Riley, he's this good, solid guy, but he's also not, you know, conservative, religious, like, I think that was a good
normalizing.
Yep, a good normalizing moment for it.
Yeah, so. Yeah, because he's also a military member, which we know, but Buffy doesn't.
Yep.
So, and, you know, there was don't ask, don't tell at this point in the military. So, like having showing military members being okay, and not only okay, but like actively helping out, like even just doing something small, like helping hang a banner, is a big deal. And it is pointed out, like, the one of the reasons that the writers have it be the Lesbian Alliance is because of Willow and Tara coming up very shortly. That's why they specifically have it be the Lesbian Alliance. But yeah, they have this, Riley and Buffy have this cute little exchange, and we find that Riley has been practicing conversations to have with Buffy, one specifically in this case about a picnic. And because he thinks that they've had this conversation, and Buffy's like, what the hell are you talking about? And then he admits to having conversations with her in his head, which she is initially like, I don't know if I like the fact that you feel the need to practice these conversations. And
he says it's like an oral exam. And she's like, oh, gee, what every girl just longs to hear. But like, she's also kind of like giving him shit. It's not like she's actually hurt by this. She's bantering with him.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And he, like, she does admit, or not admit, she does agree to go on this date. That is a date. It's a date without them saying it's a date.
Yep.
A picnic is certainly a date, especially when you're both making googly eyes.
Yep. And then... And so then we go to the graveyard, and it's Willow and Buffy, and they're on patrol.
Yeah.
And Buffy's like, hey, first of all, like, daylight, picnic daylight, like, this is new. She likes his arms. She has pointed out that she likes his arms. And the actor who plays Riley, one, he's very tall and he's very big, but he also, like, he's muscly, and you know,
he's so built like a farm boy.
He's built like a farm boy. Mm-hmm. And like, he's been slinging bales of hay.
And while Buffy is listing all these good attributes, and Willow says, because she can hear it in Buffy's voice, the butt. And Buffy says it feels like something's missing, and Willow points out he's not making you miserable. And Buffy says what everyone who has been in, like, has known only toxic relationships or abusive relationships says, and that, like, I don't think you can have, like, the love and the passion without the heartache and, like, misery, which is not true. Not true at all. And, like, even as a kid, I was just like, that's not a healthy thing. And like, even Willow's like,
yep.
As she is heartbroken.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that the cause and effect is mixed up here, right? Like, you know, you're not gonna have the heartache if you don't have the love, which is what Willow is experiencing. Mm-hmm. She's got the major pain now because she had the major love. But it doesn't have to be the inverse. You don't need to have the pain to have the major love. Like,
exactly. And Buffy also, the relationship she's been, like, specifically the one with Angel, because also they were in this these life or death situations all the time. You're gonna have all of these endorphins pumping through your system, a lot of highs, a lot of lows, and being a teenager on top of that. And also, it was a very, when Angel became Angelus, that was a very abusive relationship, because he was trying to, you know, kill everyone around her and then her. Yeah, it just wasn't good. Like, the fact that Riley doesn't make her miserable is a great thing. She should go towards that.
Yep. And so, of course, she says, can a nice, safe relationship be that intense? I know it's nuts, but part of me believes that real love and passion have to go hand in hand with pain and fighting. And as she says that, she's staking a vampire who like jumps out to attack without even breaking stride. And she's like, I wonder where I get that from.
Yeah. Yeah, to try and like, because I mean, what she's saying is very heavy. So you kind of have to toss in the vamp jumping into, because this is not supposed to be a heavy episode. Yep. Because anyone who just watched Angel, which I'm sure they're hoping that the people who are watching Angel are watching Buffy and vice versa, have just come off of a really heavy episode. So then we have Buffy at Giles, and Spike is chained in the bathtub. Like, I love this whole, like, this whole thing where Spike is at Giles's is one of my favorite things. Mm-hmm. So he's a very sassy chained vampire in a tub, and he's like threatening everyone, although he has
no power,
no bite. There's no bite. It is like a kitten who is like itty bitty and doesn't even really have their claws yet, just going like, I'm fierce. That's what he's doing. But we do see the Kiss the Librarian mug that has Spike's blood in it, that pig's blood that he wants so much. So Buffy and Spike are just like going after each other. This is the toxic relationship. Like, this is in complete juxtaposition to her and Riley. So they're arguing back and forth to the point where Giles is like, kill me now.
Uh-huh.
And
well, oh my goodness. So first of all, he's like mentioning like, oh, you probably fed blood to Angel. And she like moves away and he's like, no, give me my blood. And she's like getting, you know, bitchy with him and saying, you know, like, this is it. Kitchen's closed. Tell me something useful or I'm going to stake you. And they keep making the comments about him being impotent, mm-hmm. or flaccid. And then, you know, Buffy keeps turning to Giles as if it's like the brother and sister. This is really what I'm seeing here, is a brother-sister routine. And she's like, oh, Giles, he's going to scold me. And then she does this thing with her neck where she's like,
which you should, that's a very sexual moment. You should not be getting brother and sister from that. Yeah. I'm very concerned right now.
Okay. No, not that part. Not that part. The throwing Giles in between them thing is like,
I see it as like little kids who have like crushes type thing. Just like picking at each other, like the neighbor kids.
Okay. So you've got neighbor kids, little kids. That's fine. That can be the antagonistic part. But then there's definitely like grown up Daddy Giles, who's like thrust in the middle of this and does not want to be in the middle of this.
Oh no. Yeah, my favorite is when Spike, who is much older than both of them, says like, Giles, make her stop.
Yep.
When she's doing the neck thing.
And uh-oh. So then they walk out of the room. And, you know, or we walk out with Giles, we find Willow reading a book, and he's like, I'm going to kill both of them. Like, I might kill both. and Willow says, why not do a truth spell? And Giles is like, of course. Good idea. Let's do that. So she says that she is going to stop by the magic shop and come over early next morning with motherwort and donuts.
Mm-hmm.
And then she just casually says, you know, bye Buffy, see you later. And so when Giles goes back into the bathroom and they have this conversation, of course they're like, oh yeah, she's doing better. And Spike, who is in the bathtub, not even in the same room, is like, you guys are idiots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's barely hanging on. Or no, she's hanging by a thread. And then, which is literally like the threads of Oz's clothing. Mm-hmm. Then we go to she after she stops at the magic shop, she goes to Oz's place. I think this is her routine, not mm-hmm. necessarily the magic shop, but maybe after class or something. And his place has been cleared out. And this is her breaking moment. Like she talks to Devin. He says that Oz is sent for his things, which as Willow is full on grieving.
Because holding on hope that as long as his things were there, he's coming back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's delayed grieving is what it is. Like, she had it in the back of her mind that, like, well, he'll be coming back. He's going to come back. And you see this, like, it's grieving. Like, Giles says it later on. It's 100% what it is. And so now she's, like, the wall that she had started to build up between her and her pain, where she was only letting herself feel it sometimes, is gone. And it's just railing against her. Mm-hmm. Then, like, Buffy's trying to be there for her, but, like, there's not much you can do for someone in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
As Willow is aware.
She says, I've been split down the center, half of me is lost. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Buffy again said, she's like, I know, it feels that way now. And Willow's just like, no, like, Oz is gone. Like, this is, you know, and she's just broken. Mm-hmm. And so then we flash immediately back to Spike, who is upset because Passion's gone. Timmy's down the bloody well. And I love that they continue this commentary about passions mm-hmm. throughout several seasons. We know that Spike loves passions.
Yes, yes. And he's making threats to Giles that if he misses it, because Giles is on the phone calling Willow and she's not answering, so he's leaving her a message because he doesn't know anything that's happened, just that she's supposed to be there. And as he says, he would like to shower at some point that day by himself.
Uh-huh.
And Spike's yelling about how if you make me miss it, Giles goes, you'll what? You'll lick me to death? Like, there is nothing Spike can do. I'm not even sure if Spike had mean ideas in his head if he could lick Giles.
Ew.
Like, I don't think he could even, like, evilly, like, be like, I hope you dislike this.
You can see if he's not actively trying to hurt someone. So he pushes Willow mm-hmm. when he first was going to attack her. He pushes her against her, like, dresser. Mm-hmm. This is going back a few episodes, the initiative, right? And because he wasn't actively trying to hurt her, he was just trying to, like, scare her. Like, that was him toying. His chip didn't go off then. It wasn't until he actually tried to bite that the chip went off.
Or so, when he punches Buffy in the face later, because he's trying to hurt her then, which is why I think, like, if he's thinking mean thoughts about how he hopes that this is unpleasant for somebody else when he licks them, I wonder if he'd be like, ugh!
So, like, that now I'm wondering if this also sort of becomes, like, Pavlovian, like, conditioning. Where
we see that later on.
He can't think evil thoughts, so without pain, so it starts conditioning him towards being good.
Well, he can at least definitely think the evil thoughts because he says a bunch of nasty shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's the acting upon it where it, which, thank God, if I got zapped every time I had a bad thought. Ugh.
I know.
I would just have to start murdering people. Like, if I'm going to be in pain, I'm going to carry out my will.
So we go to the picnic. We have the picnic. Mm-hmm. And Buffy says, as we discussed in last episode, that Buffy and driving are unmixy things.
And the reason this comes up is because Riley's all about driving. He loves driving. And he starts telling her about how, you know, she has to go driving with him past the vineyards. But as he's starting to describe driving, it's no longer driving.
Yep.
And Buffy's even asks, like, are we still talking about driving? And Riley's like, I thought I was.
But anytime you start talking about something you're truly passionate about, I think that you can have, like, kind of a sexual metaphor for it. Like, think about anything that you truly enjoy doing, like, passionately enjoy doing.
Rescuing animals.
Sweetie, I'm not talking about, I'm not talking about, like, you know, walking the dog or, like.
No, I mean, like, there are people who really enjoy working with, like, animals. That's what they're passionate about. That is their passion.
But it's not an activity.
I mean, it is.
It's a little bit more complex than that. Like, if they're talking about getting into the hole and pulling out those warm, wriggling bodies that were trapped inside.
I've never heard anyone say it that way, but...
But Jasmine, anytime you talk about
this
someone
is why we medicate you.
Anyone who loves to like go flying, anyone who loves to like go bungee jumping, anyone who loves rock climbing.
Well,
like,
those are all adrenaline things though that you've mentioned.
Okay. Anyone who really loves swimming, anyone who like when you get in that zone, like something that you can get in a zone in, an activity.
Reading.
You've never had a sexual experience reading?
No.
You are not reading the right stuff.
Well, I also prefer reading murder books, so I would hope I didn't have sexual. Like, I don't want to be like, oh yes, H.H. Holmes, sexy time.
Okay, all right. We will agree to disagree on this one. But, I find being really in the zone about like a passionate experience can be very sexual. So
flossing is very sexual for you, Jasmine.
No, it's not.
It could be if give it enough time to think about it.
I mean,
see,
diving in that rope and just getting into those crevices. I feel like I could probably turn any experience sexual if I really wanted to.
Yep. So. I'll give you a list of like mundane things later, like toenail clipping.
And I'll talk, I'll just make it sexual.
Yep.
All right. So then Willow shows up and awkwardly interrupting their like sexy driving conversation. And she's like, I interrupted. You've got apples. I missed. Like,
and I think it's important that Riley's the one who invites her to sit down.
Yes.
Like, he's the one that extends that.
Mm-hmm.
Because he likes Willow. She's his inside witch.
Yep. He doesn't know that yet, but yeah. They have a friendship, like they have an established friendship, and he knows that she's hurting right now. And I mean, he doesn't know the whole Oz Willow intensity, but he knows that her deeply like serious boyfriend has left for some reason. Mm-hmm. And she is hurting.
With this scene, do you ever, because when she makes the comment about like, because it gets so awkward, and she says about like your apples are brown.
Uh-huh.
Whenever I see an apple now that is starting to go brown, like since I first saw this in high school, I picture this scene. Like, oh, yeah, like Willow's voice comes into my head and yeah, talking about apples.
Yep. So then we immediately go to the bronze, like awkward scene, cut to the bronze. Xander,
And they're playing All the Small Things by Blink-182. It's not a small band this time. It's uh-huh. Like music.
And Anya saying that she wishes she had her powers back to liquefy Oz's entrails because of the pain that he's causing her. And they're like, you know, no wonder Willow's hurting so much. But then they see her dancing on like, you know, bouncing around dancing. And she seems happy,
And Xander says, referring to Willow, dancing, and he goes, that's the dance of a brave little toaster.
Yep, which is a very period specific.
Yes.
You know, this was something that kids of the 90s and 2000s would recognize, the brave little 100%. Toaster. Now I don't think anybody would be like, huh? Like, what's a brave little toaster?
Yeah.
But yes, we find out that Willow is drunk. And Buffy's like, no, don't remember Beer Bad? Like,
Because she, Willow specifically says here that she is drinking to make the pain go away. And yep. that is not what one does. And they go out of their way to make that point here that you do not drink to take away your pain. Like, that's how you become an alcoholic. Do not do that. That is not a coping mechanism. They're really, I think this season, I don't know if there's, well, not just this season, because we've seen it before with Spike and how stupid he acts, which I can't even imagine how much a vampire has to drink to get drunk. We saw it with Buffy, and now we're seeing it with Willow. And it's, and Willow is lashing out. Like, Buffy, it was all inwards. Like, she was, like, ripping herself apart. Willow is, and this is what, how some people react with grief. They, you know, turn their pain outwards, which is not great.
Yep. But, so, Buffy says, I'm taking you home, because she was lashing at Xander. She's like, I'm taking you home. You'll thank me when you still have a friend in the morning. Mm-hmm. And, Buffy says, I can't stand, or sorry, Willow says she can't stand feeling this way. She wants it to be over. And Buffy's like, it's going to take time. And Willow's like, can't I just make it go away? Like, can't I just be through this? Why do I have to put in the work of this and feel the pain? You know, I just want it to be over. And so, sorry, I don't know if you can hear that high-pitched whining. It's Lily lying on my feet.
Oh, I can't hear over that because Cairo's snoring on his bed.
I'm like, I have Lily just lying on my feet whining because I'm not throwing a ball for her. So.
You cruel woman.
Willow wants everything to just go poof. And so she pulls out like all of her magic stuff.
Well, not right at the bronze. Like, they go home.
Like, they go home, they go to sleep.
Yeah.
Willow can't sleep. She gets out of bed. She grabs her magic stuff. She goes to the bathroom. She does a spell that for her will to be done. And you know something works because all the flames are like whooshing.
And there's like crazy light. And this is a dorm bathroom. Like, not. Which I'm shocked that this, I think, set up a real unrealistic expectation about what college life would be like. There's no way that no one would be wandering those halls at whatever time. It doesn't matter the time. Or someone wouldn't be in that bathroom. That's just how college is.
Well, okay, so in my freshman residence hall, there were multiple bathrooms on the floor. Mm-hmm. And every five people had a bathroom to themselves. So like, there were times where I could just go into the bathroom and be like, this is my bathroom, because I know that my suite mates are all out. But it was much more difficult when you ended up in like the larger residence halls that had, you know, communal bathrooms. And
yeah, because I know at like larger schools, like state schools specifically, there would sometimes be 10 people in one dorm space. Uh-huh. They then would share a bathroom with, you know, the floor, basically. It would be a very large bathroom, which is what appears to be going on there. But either way, like, there's no one like even wandering the halls.
It's the witching hour. It's the witching hour.
Yeah, college kids love the witching hour. That's the best time to watch horror movies.
So Willow's trying her spell. She's like, I will my heart to be healed. It's not. She's like, I will this book to speak its words to me. Nothing happens. She says, I will this Q-tip to be unbendy. It doesn't unbend. Obviously, she doesn't understand how this spell works. Mm-hmm. Because when Giles enters and he's concerned about her, he's like, you never showed up to do our spell. And she's like, you know, you're shirking your responsibilities. And she's like, no, I didn't. Like, I got the stuff. I just didn't, you know, show up to do the spell, which is shirking the responsibilities. Yes. Although she did get sidelined. Like, she got sidelined by seeing Oz, like, was gone.
Yeah, but she didn't let Giles know.
Yeah.
which is like, that's why Giles is concerned, because it's not like her. And like, he even goes out and says, like, you know, it's not, he's like, I understand that you're going through something, but you have to basically let me know. And he's like, and I'm concerned about you. And he makes a very good point. And Willow's talked about this before, how magic is tied to the caster's emotions.
Yep.
So she should not be doing spells right by, or like right now, because she's grieving. And Willow gets pissed about this, which logically she should know what he's saying is true. And it's also very clearly like coming from, he's not being patronizing. He's, mm-hmm. he's talking as someone who loves her, but we also like, I mean, she did the same thing to Xander the night before. She's been snipping at Buffy, but nothing as intense yet.
Yep. So, I mean, he's talking about her energy being unfocused, and she's like, I'm not incompetent, but I think this is the same situation as with the alcohol. If you are just enjoying a little bit of alcohol socially, that's fine. If you are using alcohol to like ease your pain, mm-hmm. that's not good. That's a crutch. Like, if she is using, you know, spells with a purpose, but if she's using magic as a crutch, that's also not healthy. Yeah. And I think this is one of the first times they're really showing like magic as a, I don't know, say as a need, as a use for her, like, you know, as a possible thing to be abused.
Well, I would argue it's the second time, because she almost did, she stopped herself from doing that spell to harm Veruca and Oz. If it had just been Veruca would have been on the side of the road twitching. But because it involved Oz, she couldn't do that. But this is the first time she's gone through. Granted, she didn't do the research on this. She doesn't know how the spell works, and like, she doesn't know what to expect. To like, I would imagine that if you cast this spell and then your will is done, like as you're putting it out there, you might feel something.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's just like a little rush of energy or a little drain of energy, I don't know. But you would feel something, because her eyes do that thing.
Mm-hmm. But. So she's, you know, she says that everyone wants her to take the time and go through it, but no one wants to be inconvenienced by her taking the time and going through it. And to be honest, I feel like that it's not unfair for her to say that, you know, like, they don't want her lashing out at them, but, you know, Giles saying, hey, come on, like, this is your responsibility. Why is that her responsibility to do the spell? Like, you know,
because she volunteered for it.
Yeah, but like, if she was to then say, hey, I can't, like, other things but have come up. Yeah, I know.
But, so that's, if you take something on and you don't then give, like, that's on you. Like, yeah. I think what she's doing is a bit unfair, because the only thing we've seen her friends come down on her for are doing things that are crutches, like the alcohol. That's when we see them say something. Or like, they're trying, especially, like, I mean, Buffy's living with her through this.
Yep. And like, they invited her into their date. Like, Riley and Buffy invited her into their date.
Mm-hmm. Giles shows up because he's concerned about her. The spell is very much so secondary. I think he's annoyed by Spike, but okay, I don't think that. We know he's annoyed by Spike, but.
So anyways, he's like, I see how you could feel that way. And she says, you don't see anything. And immediately his eyes start hurting, his vision gets blurred, he walks away, he's kind of in a daze, bumps into a student, and he's a little confused. We go to Spike and Giles, and Giles' living room. Spike is still chained up, but he's on the floor. I'm wondering how he did this. Like, he just, you know.
Lead the pony.
Lead the pony, but... And so he's trying to read and he's having difficulty, and Spike's like, whoa, like, don't, if you can't read, don't do spells on me.
Mm-hmm. And Giles pulls out his hanky basically to clean his glasses, And when he does that, out pops the keys to Spike's manacles.
Yep.
And Spike sees this, you know, keeps talking at Giles, grabs the key, frees himself, and runs the hell out of there. Also, Spike's coat has been hung politely in the doorway.
Yep.
Which makes so much sense for Giles. This is where this goes.
Mm-hmm. So,
Willow and Buffy.
Willow and Buffy. Or actually, so he runs out, gets the manacle, runs out, go to Willow and Buffy. We have this great scene where Willow is talking about how Amy is a better witch than she'll ever be. And she's like, she's a perfectly normal, like, Amy's a perfectly normal girl. And Amy turns back from being a rat into being a girl. And she looks around like, yes, I'm human again. Mm-hmm. Just in time for Willow to say, poof, she's a rat. And
yep. And Amy looks fabulous for those, like, 30 seconds she's on screen, like, ooh, being a rat has been kind to her. And then she's a rat again. So that sucks. But yeah, it's just this fun, like, moment of Amy unratting. And yep. Just, it's keeping Amy tied in because Amy someday will not be a rat.
Mm-hmm.
So, Buffy is like, I don't think Giles was trying to put you down, and like they're going back and forth, and then the phone rings and Giles has called to tell Buffy that Spike has escaped. So that means obviously Buffy has to go get Spike.
Mm-hmm.
Willow.
Willow's like, no, don't go do your job. Come hang out with me. Let's do a girls' night. And Buffy's like, I can't. Like, you know I can't. I will come after I go get Spike. I'll come back and be with you, but I can't right now. And Willow gets kind of pissy and she says, he's probably just standing out there. You'll find him in 2 seconds. And her eyes flash. And then we cut immediately to Spike just standing there.
Looking very confused.
Buffy just walks up to him like, okay, like I thought this would take longer. And then Spike says that he's pretty sure that this is where he escaped from the commando lab, but he can't find it. He can't find the entrance. He starts like pulling up chunks of grass and screaming that he's going to, you know, kill the commandos and he needs to be fixed.
And Buffy thinks this is an act.
Yep. She says that she's going to gag him. He punches her in the nose. Then he cries in pain. And then she punches him in the nose and he cries in pain again. Like,
yep. And, then Buffy drags him back to, Giles's. Now I will say that is a handy trick that Willow now has, like, and then you found him in 2 seconds. Ta-da!
Yep.
Like that could come in handy. But
so we go back to Giles's bathroom. He's putting eye drops in his eyes. Buffy brings him in. They are fighting with each other, like fighting.
Buffy's threatening murder.
Yep. And then we've got Willow in Xander's basement. And Willow's complaining about Buffy. She's lashing out about Buffy. And Xander's listening to her. And Willow's like, Buffy's not making friends a priority. And Xander's like, it's her job. Like, it's her responsibility. You know, like, I'm here with you. But then, of course, Willow's like, well, Spike's more important than me. You know, whatever, whatever. They should just get married.
Yeah. Why doesn't she just marry him? Like, yep. Such a little kid, like, brat thing to say. If you like him, man, you just marry him.
And so then we cut to Giles walking in to the living room. And Spike is now, like, sitting in front of the chair that he'd been nearly tied to. And, like, Buffy's sitting in the chair and he's holding her hand and he says, just say yes and make me the happiest man on earth. And then she's like, oh, Spike, of course it's yes. And they're kissing. And then she shows her, like, Spike skull ring.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. Like, it's something special that moment. Because Giles has come in ready to reprimand them like the father figure, and that's happening. And he's like, something's wrong. Something's very, very wrong. Like, what the? He's like, it's a spell. It has to be a spell. Like, yep. In that moment. And then we popped from that, because Willow's not done causing havoc by any means. Mm-hmm. And Willow is still talking to Xander, and Xander's trying to make her feel better. He's like talking her through everything and saying, like, you know, this isn't the end, basically. Yeah. And she was like, what, more heartache? I don't want that. Let's look at your track record. It completely skips over like the fact that Cordelia wasn't a demon, and yeah. just like hits the demons, which she knows he's sensitive about. And mm-hmm. like then mocks Anya, and Anya has been nothing but kind to Willow as much as Anya can, and
wants to liquefy Oz's entrails for her,
right? And that is very sweet for Anya, and like she's doing her best as a new human, does not deserve the hate. And Willow says, well, you're a demon magnet, and Xander's like, okay, I think we've had enough now. Yeah. And this is when her friends aren't supportive, because they're kicking her out because she is being mean. You do not have to put up with, no matter what someone's going through, if someone's making you feel like shit, tell them get the fuck out.
Yep. Like, you can come back when you're stop lashing out at me mm-hmm. and start talking about like what you're actually going through.
Yep.
But, you know, Giles calls and says, it's a spell. Mm-hmm. I need your help. Something is very wrong, because we see Buffy smooching and sitting on Spike's lap, and she's giving him blood at 98.6 degrees.
And they're just being like when you think of like stereotypically like disgusting couples to be around, maybe you've met some in your time. I think everyone has, where you're just like, I hope you both die. That's what's going on here. I literally wrote down, so gooey.
So she wants to have a daytime ceremony, and he's like, I'm a vampire, dust. And she's like, no, we'll do it in the like, under the trees. And he's like, again, like big breeze, dust. And she's, you know, being like, Bridezilla. She's actually trying to get into quite a bit of a Bridezilla, and she's mm-hmm. like, you're ruining my big day by not wanting to catch on fire.
Do you think that this was because of like the malice that Willow said it with, that that's one of why this is happening? Because I feel like Buffy as a bride would not be like this.
Yep.
I mean, we saw how she was with Thanksgiving, so maybe. But
oh, and then he pouts, mm-hmm. and he's like, oh, that lip, I'm gonna get it. And like, Giles is like, stop, please, just stop, you know, don't make me endure this anymore. And then Buffy asks Giles to give her away, and Giles is like swept up in the moment of mm-hmm. like, that's so sweet and endearing, because he does have fatherly feelings towards her. And then he's like, hang on a second. No, this is crazy. Like, we're not doing this.
Yeah. And then Buffy makes the point, like, I know this is going to take some time, but you guys weren't crazy about Angel at first. And Spike is like, you won't say that name. And why don't we just register where Angel wanted to register? And da, da, da. And Buffy brings
right up after her coming back from her last visit with Angel.
So yeah. And then she's like, you don't think I don't have Drusilla hanging over my head? And then they go back to that, like, instant. And Buffy makes this point later that, like, her and Spike, it's not even that they're in, like, love and being nice to each other. They're fighting still constantly. It's just like the spell is then forcing them to mack it after or during the fight.
Yep. Toxic relationship. Toxic relationship.
Yeah. And at this point, Giles knocks over his scotch because he is using alcohol to cope right now.
Yep.
But at this point, he's completely blind. And like Buffy and Spike notice something's wrong, and he says he's completely blind. Spike and says that he thinks it's a spell. Spike automatically goes over to the books that he will most likely need They're not exactly sure. I don't know if, like, had they gone through with this spell, if it actually would have worked to undo it, but and Spike makes the point. He's like, of course I'm helping right now. It's like you're my father-in-law. Spike does have a romantic side and like a weird family side to him. But yeah, but Buffy ventures out to the magic shop to get what they need, sees the wedding dresses in April Fool's, and goes over and is staring at this wedding dress when Riley
sees Buffy. Now he does see her staring at the wedding dress and gets kind of like and immediately, you know, she's like, aren't they beautiful? And he's like, but not for school. Like, why are you looking at wedding dresses? And so immediately she's going into like, oh, you know, I really want you to be there on the day when I get, you know, married to Spike, to a guy named Spike, who she hates and is totally old.
But not as old as her last boyfriend. Riley is just kind of like, what? He's confused, kind of angry. Like, he has a lot of feelings that are mostly confusion being the main one. And he does, and he's upfront about it. He's like, I am upset. I'm gonna go.
He's like, it's late and I'm very tired now. he's just like, I can't process this. I'm very tired. I'm just gonna go away.
Yep. And Buffy's sad and says, everyone's ruining my big day.
Yep.
So then we go to Xander's, and Willow is no longer there. And Xander is calling up to his mom saying they don't need any more snacks. Apparently she's been foisting fruit roll-ups, which Xander smells like, as Giles points out later, on Anya and Xander. And they want to have some alone time. I actually and my notes screwed up because I wrote Willow and Anya are interrupted by the demon. But I'm sure there's fanfic about that.
But yeah, so apparently it's a Pargo demon, which Anya immediately recognizes, and she says that the only way to kill it is to drown it. Mm-hmm. So they drag it over to the sink and they drown it. But then as soon as they finish killing that demon, another one comes in.
Oh yeah.
So they run. Like, that's what they gotta do. They run.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? So Buffy and Spike are back at Giles's, and Buffy has found this wedding topper of two white blonde people and is going dum-dum-da-dum, dum-dum-da-dum up his arm. And Spike is like, I hate this guy. I think he says a poof. Or something like that.
Yeah, like... insipid.
Insipid. Yeah.
Clearly human. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, well, we'll smear blood on its face.
Blood of the innocent. And yeah, and then more making out, and Giles is considering suicide at this point. Yep. And that's when Anya, not Willow, Anya and Xander come like busting through the door after it's been explained, by the way, that Buffy can't get a hold of the ingredients that they need at the magic shop. They'll have more tomorrow. So Giles is doomed to blindness for 24 hours.
Yep.
Is what we're thinking at this point. After Anya and Xander have no idea what's going on, they find out that Giles is blind.
And he can smell the fruit roll-ups on Xander's fingers.
Yep. And then they realize that Spike and Buffy are holding hands. They tell them that they're getting married. Xander wants to be blind too.
Yep.
And they also said, you know, they're being chased by demons. And Buffy's like, oh, the spell must be affecting them too. I must just have survived it since I am the Slayer, natural immunity. And Xander's like, uh-huh, sure. this is normal.
But then he's like, wait, hang on a second. Like, mm-hmm. I know something. And then he's like, Willow was saying that you guys should get married, that I was a demon magnet. And Giles is like, oh yeah, she says that I couldn't see anything. And so, yeah.
They go to find Willow, but
yeah, Willow's out there. She doesn't know what she's doing.
Mm-hmm. But Willow, as soon as she heads back to the dorm, is taken by the Hoffren. We don't know it's the Hoffren. We just see a demon grab her head and lights happening and her going, ah!
Yep.
But as soon as they see the floor, like Anya knows, because the Hoffren was her dude who like convinced her to be a vengeance demon.
After her own heartbreak.
Yes. And she wasn't doing nearly what Willow was.
Uh-huh.
Just like boils on the penis, I think she said.
Yep. So the Hoffren is speaking to Willow and is basically like, your magic is strong, but it's your pain that like summoned me. Like it pierces through the dimensional walls.
Mm-hmm.
And Willow's like, I'm sorry. Like I'll try to scream quieter. And she tries to leave. And he's like, no. Like, you know, we could turn you into a vengeance demon. And so which is when we switch back to, you know, going to the cemetery and Anya saying that she had, you know, done some stuff. And that when de Hoffren heard of it, he offered to elevate her into a demon. Is that really an elevation? Are demons higher beings? Like,
probably. I mean, they have powers and they live far longer. So
anyways, he makes her a demon. And Buffy is saying, like, okay, but we're going to summon him back to the special crypt and stop him. But then she gets distracted by the best place for pictures in the ceremony. That a demon shows up and she's like, we're not going to destroy the foliage because I want to have wedding pictures here.
Spike also does not want to have wedding photos there. So he's probably like, rough it all up, please. But yeah, so they're doing the whole, she fights off the one demon, then another shows up and they're like, run for it. And they run into another crypt and close the door, like try and hold off this now mounting army of demons who are after Xander.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they don't know why they're drawn to him. They're just probably like, kill
that guy
or mate, who knows.
So Anya is trying to summon de Hoffren while de Hoffren tells Willow that the pain she has caused upon those that she loves is inspiring. And she's like, what pain that I've caused? And so he like opens up like a little time window thing.
Movie screen.
Yep. And like, here's what you're doing. And this is the part where like Spike's like, they're strong and I can't fight. If they get in, I don't know if I can protect you. And Buffy's like, whoa, hang on a second. You have to protect me. And he's like, you know, oh, whatever, girl power. But like, seriously, she's the slayer. Like she's nearly beaten him a ton of times. And he, you know, or she has beaten him a ton of times. Like,
yeah. And at one point earlier, Spike does say that about the Scoobies, like, this is the team that like foil my every plot. I am deeply shamed.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like when Willow looks in, Buffy's being strangled by a demon. Spike is being bashed about, which nobody cares. And Xander's getting his ass handed to him, as is Anya. Mm-hmm. Like they're probably all going to die, honestly.
And so Willow says, like, no offense to Hoffren. You've been very nice offering me this job, but I don't want to be a demon. I just want to go back and help my friends. And he's like, well, I'm very sorry to hear that. And then he goes, okay, here's my talisman, as if he's handing her a business card. Like, yep. Want a job? Give me a call.
Mm-hmm.
Except give us a chance. Give us a chance. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He waves his hand, disappears. Buffy like manages to kick a demon's ass and she runs over to Spike and they like start making out on the floor of the crypt. Like,
While Anya and Xander are still fighting other demons.
Yep. And
Willow
says, "Let the healing power begin. Let my will be safe again. As these words of peace are spoken, let this harmful spell be broken." If this was the reversal spell that she needed to do, that she knew that she needed to do to end the spell, then
harmful
spell. Like what the heck, Willow? But thunder, lightning, everything, flashes, the demons disappear, and then Buffy and Spike realize that they've been making out and they are disgusted.
Mm-hmm. They're spitting everywhere, and then everyone like stops and looks at Willow like, "You asshole," and she's like, "Hi guys."
Yep.
So then the next day, Willow is baking cookies at Giles's, and which is
a much better use of her energy.
Yeah, and Anya asks how long she's going to be doing this, and she's like, "Until my guilt is gone, basically." And she's like, "I also have to detail Giles's car," and she's wearing a shirt that says "Speak No Evil," which is just brilliant.
Yep.
So, and Spike wants a cookie as well, because like we never really see Angel eat human food, but like Spike knows that there's some good stuff going on there, and it's not like chocolate chip cookies were like rolling down the streets when he was before he was turned either.
So something we learned last episode is that human food doesn't taste as good as when you're a human. But I'm wondering if like really good stuff still tastes moderately good.
And also, I think he's probably just hungry in general because they're not giving him a ton of blood. He's like, "I will take a cookie. Give me a cookie."
Spike reveals that Buffy wanted wind beneath my wings for the first dance. Mm-hmm. Buffy insists it was the spell. Everybody kind of is like, okay, we're being okay, or we're moving forward, except Buffy realizes or remembers that Riley thinks she's engaged.
Yep. Cause she's saying no more bad guys. Like this was the wake up call that she really needed. And then she's like, "Oh God."
So, she's like, "What am I going to say?" And we immediately cut to Buffy laughing and being like, "It was a joke. It was all a joke." Like, and saying that she saw the fear in his eyes and had to give him a hard time. Mm-hmm. And that he was looking at her like she was a cartoon ball and chain. And he's like, "Okay, so you're insane." And she's like, "Yep." And he's like, "But you're single." And she's like, "Yep." And he kisses her. Does he kiss her?
He does not kiss her. They have not kissed yet, as far as we're aware.
He holds her head as if he's going to kiss her. Like there's this moment, and
because
then
she says to him, I think before that, when he moved, like right before he moves in, "You have a lot to learn about women, Riley." And he moves in and does the face company, and it seems like it's going to be a kiss moment, but he doesn't.
And he says, "Mm-hmm. You're going to teach me."
Yep. And it's not "you can," it's "you're going to."
Yep. Ooh.
And then he walks away, and Buffy is just looking at him like, "Ooga."
So this is us in the Hellmouth. Next week, we're back in the City of Angels with Hero.
Yes. It's so, like, I always think, for whatever reason in my mind, I always think that Doyle is around much longer than he actually is. I think it's the full first season that he's there, because I want it. That's what it is. I want him to be there.
Yep.
But no. So, we will see you next week. Yes. Yep. Thank you for just Jocin.